Call them to McDonald's, what you order, bro?
Can I get an Oreo McFlurry, yeah?
We're not serving ice cream right now.
All right, and now officially starting the episode in 3, 2,
I got this one.
One.
I don't got this one, you start.
Are you, okay, you have to, you know what, just fucking include the countdown, like me saying starting this episode, and you saying, I got this one, proudly declaring, I got this one, and then not having any idea,
Like, I had it in my mind, like, I'm starting this episode, but then, like, it hit me, and, like, the stage fright, I guess
stage
I already
fright.
Started. Welcome to Brokey Podcast, episode 19, is it 19?
19? Yeah, it's 19, I always
took
the number.
Wow. You're not deceiving you. You've seen this in the subbots. The monthly podcast are back. Wow.
We're actually doing it. Holy shit. You guys seriously thought, the Briskies are dead. This channel's dead. They're never uploading again. Nope. We're seriously back this time. For real. For seriously.
This is really like one of the only
times. Because I'm not in college anymore. That's
the only
time
that we haven't really uploaded. Because we were pretty consistent a lot in the past. Especially doing Danganronpa, but holy shit, I don't know how he did that. But
yeah,
your college schedule is like freaking insane. And then even now, like, we have very conflicting work schedules, and even for like videos, like we're working on like some gaming videos right now. It's not a one man project. Like, I literally do like every little detail of you. So,
but
we got stuff coming though.
Us having working schedules that are sometimes conflicting is still better than when I was in college, because the great thing about work compared to school is that when work is over, you go home and it's all you. You don't have to worry about homework or anything, you know? You just have to make sure that you go to work the next day or whatever. But at college, you get back to your room. Bruh. I can't be making no broski videos, bruh. I gotta be fucking studying Japanese.
Watashi wa I'm Jinjo desu.
You know what I'm saying?
What did you just say?
I am Lime Jinjo. That's all I said.
Okay.
Anata wa.
Well, anyway.
Demo baka desu.
About work, and about videos, we just released a 21 day behind the scenes, and I think we were gonna include it, but didn't really fit the kind of video we had. We have some news about a machine at the round one. You take away, bro.
Okay, so if you follow the Brisky Twitter, you probably saw. I walked into work. Okay, so I work at the round one that's in the 21 day video now. I have for 3 months. I'm a trusted employee. Everyone there loves me now, honestly. I think I even know the guy that got Zach's Futaba out of the glass case. So I'm like an integrated part of the broski lore.
Offered him a job because he was so good at the games.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know what manager that is. I'm pretty sure it's the guy that's being switched to managing my department now. He's a good manager. He's like my second favorite, probably. Anyway.
Actually, wait. Before you move on, I don't think we ever mentioned that. Could we talk a lot about like doing extra stuff for 21 Day in private. Yeah, that was never mentioned. So that probably just out of blue what I just said. Zach, when he was going crazy, he went and, like, popped a lock, like, 20 freaking times, you know. It was crazy. And when he was buying his prize, they offered him a job. They're like, so, you're looking for work? Because they wanted him to be a mechanic there, because he was good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's specifically because he said he was a mechanic at a Dave & Buster's. I think you're probably more likely to be hired at round one if you previously worked at a Dave & Buster's or someplace similar. And no bias, round one is still better than Dave & Buster's unless we keep getting rid of the fucking PCB fighting games, in which case we're just slightly better. But I walked in to work one day and Melty Blood was gone. I had noticed some of the fucking PCB games were missing, like Virtua Tennis. And two of the four Tekken Tag Tournament 2 cabinets were missing, but Melty Blood was missing. I walk in the back office and my district manager, who's like the highest guy that's ever in the building pretty much, high ranking, not on weed. The people on weed are all in the food and bev department. So I say to Tyler and also some of the mechanics about there, like, bruh, please tell me it's just in the back for cleaning or something. And then they're like, nope, to be destroyed. Deji's dog to be destroyed. That's what they said to me.
Oh my god, can I give you like a whole paycheck or something?
And they're like, nah. Tyler said to me, Matthew, I'm sorry, but I've had people in the past try and do exactly what you're doing, and it doesn't work. Corporate won't listen. They won't let you buy it. So, the machine, I found out that they fought, and they got to keep the actual Naomi board that housed Melty Blood, and then the mechanics knew that I love this game so much, and our district manager knew that I love this game so much, that they allowed me to keep the art that goes on the inside of the Sega Lindbergh cabinet. So I have the art from both machines in my house right now.
Yeah,
and that was
the
end of the story.
The 21 day video, you'll probably, I took so much footage of that machine. It's like the little thing above the screen and like above the joystick.
Yeah, you took shots of like all the character art on like above the joystick and the motions. All that art that you see in the 21 day video is now in my house. So it's now official Broski property. And I want to put them in glass frames and put them on the Broski set because it's like Broski property. But that was the end of the story. But then the other day, so this whole time, one of the mechanics there, who I'll refer to as Kirby, because it's not too far from his name, and I'm looking at some Kirbys on my desk. So Kirby, he's the one that gave me the art, and he's like the manager of the mechanics, and he's a really nice guy. He talks to me. And, like, he'll just, like, you know, he's, like, a super friendly guy. He came into the back office when they were, like, getting rid of Melty Blood because he knew I liked it so much. Just to show me the Naomi board because he thought it looked cool and he thought I'd think it's cool. And it is cool. It's just a giant white brick that says Naomi, Melty Blood actress again. He said that next time a fighting game goes down, he's going to see if he can put Melty Blood in its shell because now he wants to try it because he sees how passionate I am for it. So, a couple days ago, Dragon Ball Z, which had been breaking, like, it has been completely fucked for a while now.
Actually, before you go on, I don't remember Dragon Ball Z. Did that come after I went there?
It's been there since I was hired, so I'm not sure if it was there on 21 day, but it's been there for about as long as I can remember.
Okay, well, a lot of it is different. If you watch, I don't think we got a lot of, like, really great footage of the store, but... For example, they have like the traditional American claw machines. That's all they had when I went there. But now they have like the claw machines from Japan that are actually fair and you can like actually win shit off of it. I really wanted to play those, but I couldn't because I went there when I was there.
Yeah, it turns out the round one I work at is the second best round one for cranes. According to the statistics TV in the back office, we are literally second place for crane sales, which is fucking insane because, as you probably know about me, unless this is the first episode of the podcast that you've ever listened to, I live in fucking Pennsylvania. And it's not like a super popular area of Pennsylvania either. Now, the round one I work at is in a city that's like, you know, a decent bit away from my house, but it's not like a super popular city either. The only store ahead of us is in fucking California. For cranes.
Well, it's also weird because you never would have gone to the city it was in if you didn't know round one was there. So
I mean,
like,
I've been to that city. I just didn't know round one was there. And it wasn't there until like early 2021 or something, like a year ago. Like over a year ago, like a year and a half ago.
That's crazy. And
but I wouldn't frequent that city at all. It's a nice city. It is a nice city. I like it. You could easily figure out what city it is, because I think there's only like 3 round ones in PA.
Whatever, Broski meetup.
Seriously do not give a fuck. As long as you don't know my exact address, I seriously don't give a fuck if you know what cities I frequent.
We have 200 subscribers. If some random person meets you at work, you'd be like, I know you from the Broski. Whatever, man.
I seriously don't give a fuck.
And even if you do get a little traction, you won't be working at round one anymore.
Yeah, probably not. So. And I'll probably be, when the Broskis get famous, I'll probably be moved so that me and you can be together forever.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of exclusive Patreon content in the future.
gay sex. Sorry, I
got him upset, Steve.
I spoke the quiet part loudly there. But yeah, so I came in work the other day and Dragon Ball Z broke and they put Melty Blood back in. But they don't have the art anymore because they gave it to me. And Sophie said to Kirby, do you want the art back? And Kirby said, what do you mean? We threw all the art out. And then he winked at Sophie. So now I have the art and the Melty Blood at round one is in a fucking cabinet that shows Goku. But it's clearly playing Melty Blood. So Goku looks at you while you play Melty Blood. I played it last night. Also, Kirby actually did what I asked one of the amusement managers to do like over a month ago before they removed it. And he added Neko Arc. He went in on the Naomi service menu and typed in the code to add Neko Arc. So I played as Neko Arc last night.
Yeah, that's cool that you keep the art. The thing I was wondering would they ask for the art back and like were you gonna offer it anyway? Because I was thinking like, well, I mean, the bet's in there that the game's back and we have the broke Kivelic.
They can just print out new art. Yeah. It's not. It's about the pamphlet that goes on top. They're all made for the Sega something city. I don't remember what the name of that type of cabinet is anymore, but it's like a different size and the pamphlet is about the size of a piece of paper, so they could just print it out. The character move things are harder to print out, obviously, but they could still probably do it if they really wanted to. And also, not every game there has it anyway, so it wouldn't be out of place if it just didn't have it. But yeah, Melty Blood's back, basically exclusively my doing. Obviously, Kirby's the one that actually put it back, but it's like they probably wouldn't have put it back if I wasn't working there.
Well, my my question about it is it there for good for a while, or like are they gonna repair Dragon Ball and put it back in there?
Well, Kirby said that Dragon Ball is a completely busted and they can't repair it. So rest in peace, Dragon Ball Z. And B, he said that they don't foresee corporate downsizing on the PCBs at our location for the foreseeable future. So Melty Blood should be safe for now.
Wow, happy endings. We actually, we got caught up with your work schedule. Could I work mornings and then you're just like very, it'll be mornings, it'll be nights, it'll be mid, you're all over the place. We were
going
to record.
Stop fucking putting me in mids and nights, please. Oh my God, I only like work in the mornings.
Well, yeah, when you work a mid or night shift, like, you have no day. Like, you literally wake up and go to work, and then you just lay in bed for 2 hours. It seemed miserable. Like, I have to wake up super early, but it's probably way better than not having a day at all.
If I didn't like my job, I would probably kill myself. Facts.
Oh, shit. So what I was saying, oh, yeah, we were going to record right after the machine was gone, but before it came back. So we almost recorded this episode of, like, no happy ending. Just like, oh, we got a Valkyrie guide. But
I mean, it's a bittersweet ending initially.
Yeah, bittersweet.
But, but this is, like, the best ending. I got free art and the machine is back.
We got to get Kirby on the podcast. Kirby's a real one.
Facts.
Boyo.
That's what he sounds like, I think. Kirby voice acting.
oh my god.
Oh goodness, I think I'm gonna die soon.
Oh my god, I completely forgot about that.
It just fucking reminded me. That video, I don't know if I retweeted. I want to retweet it because that is the funniest fucking video. I should retweet it on the Broski account before this episode airs. So if you haven't seen it, go to the Broski Twitter and look at our retweets. It is the funniest fucking video ever. You could also just find it on YouTube by looking up Kirby voice acting. And it's like a video from 2012. It's this guy who he's just like giving his normal voice to Kirby and like voicing what he thinks Kirby would say. And it's the funniest fucking video of all time. Someone modded it into Smash Brothers. It's like the last, like the end of the video where like he's doing like sound effects for Kirby getting hit, Kirby when he's about to die, and then like eventually Kirby's death. And he goes like, he's like, it's like dying and it's like, oh goodness, I think I'm gonna die soon. And then one of the sound effects for when Kirby's about to die is just him going, And then immediately transitions to Kirby death noise, and he just goes,
ah! Oh goodness, I might die soon.
Yeah, people like make gameplay of like Kirby. They just take like some gameplay YouTube Kirby shit. And since no one died in the recording, because like Kirby's an easy game, they don't die in the recording, so they just throw the screaming at the end of the clip.
Even yeah, though he doesn't it's die. So fucking funny. It's literally one of the most goated videos of all time, probably ever, honestly.
I saw he made a Mario one too. We never watched that one though.
Yeah, he made Mario and Sonic ones. I don't think they're as good. But you know, they're still funny. I think the part of the charm of it being Kirby is that Kirby's just a pink little guy and he doesn't
Kirby
like talk.
Doesn't have well, Kirby had a voice. He speaks very little words. Like, what are the letters you can't pronounce? I think it might be R.
That would make sense, but I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I think it's R. Because when Joker would come into Smash Bros, everyone really wanted Kirby to say Persona because he wouldn't say the R.
Yeah. And he goes like,
"Mama." No,
Kirby's
really
awesome.
Like, when Smash Bros came out on the Switch, I just looked through Kirby's voice line. Kid, like, Kirby doing Hadouken is so cute, dude.
Hadouken!
Have you heard that shit?
Hadouken! Hadouken!
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I love that shit. And I've been getting into Street Fighter a lot recently, so that's basically heat to me, honestly.
Kirby said,
fucking
like,
heat.
All the Minato arts, it's like, it's so adorable.
I love Kirby. I have, Sophie and I went to Mitsuya for our anniversary, which is a marketplace in New Jersey, and it has a Kinokuniya, there, and like a Little Japan store. Like, that's what it's called, Little Japan. And in Little Japan, they had the Kirby 30th anniversary, like, squishable figurine things. So I got one of the classic Kirby that looks like Kirby Dream Land, like one Kirby, and then I got the one for the Crystal Shards. These figures are fucking awesome. They were like $10 each, which is like even, that like that's more than they are in Japan, and that was still a good price for how good quality these figurines are.
I mean, you'd pay more if you bought them online, I think.
Yeah,
so
I would.
It's better to like
would.
Buy it from a marketplace like that, even though it's more expensive than Japan.
It's insane. In Japan, it's probably only like $5. But you have to do it in a gacha. At Little Japan, I was just able to pick which ones I wanted. So that was nice. So I could just... I got you a classic Kirby, and then I got a classic Kirby and a Crystal Shards Kirby.
Gachas
very,
are like so...
Very cute little figurines.
Common in Japan. Like, I keep seeing like these new, I don't know, like Jujutsu Kaisen little tiny figures or some shit. And it's like, oh, these are cute. Oh, it's a gachapon. Or like Spy Family had like the designer shared it, gachapons.
Yeah,
why don't we have gachapons? You go to like your freaking Walmart
cool.
And they just have like these shitty like tattoo stickers. I want like some cool ass gachapon, dude.
Where's the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure gachapon?
Well, actually, when you visited here, the GameStop in my mall had like a four gachapons.
Yeah, and I bought you and Sophie tokens for the Cardcaptor Sakura one.
Yeah, it was like Cardcaptor. I think two of them weren't even anime, but like, it was like Cardcaptor and some other shit. I saw Dragon
Where's
Ball
JoJo's?
Z before.
Yeah, that's cool. Speaking of anime, welcome to the JoJo corner of the episode. Dylan put metal music and explosions in the background. We have multiple JoJo-related topics today. So, first, when I went to Kinokuniya, guess what I got, Dylan? Guess! You know, so. Put forward like a fake guess so the audience can guess along.
Oh, you went to the porn section and you brought porn.
Actually, yes, but I bought that for Nathan because it's funny.
Sure?
I got Nathan a softcore porn. Sophie and I got him a softcore porn magazine that apparently is the magazine that Kingdom is serialized in, and it has a chapter of Kingdom in it because there's a little bubble that shows the guy from Kingdom on it, but it's mostly just a girl in, like, barely any clothing. It's awesome. But anyway, what I got for myself, all of Steel Ball run in Japanese and Purple Haze feedback. Rawr! I love JoJo's Adventure! Our next JoJo topic, Dylan, do you want to talk about let's talk about the anime first.
Okay.
So, the broskies watched JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 5. Rawr! What did you think, Dylan?
It's pretty good. Like an 8 out of 10.
8? That shit was a 10 in my book. Rawr! I love JoJo's Bizarre Adventure so fucking much. I thought Golden Wind was about as good as Part 4. Probably not as good as Part 4. I think Part 4 is still my favorite. But I think Part 5 was peak. I think the side cast in Part 5 was probably the strongest side cast in the series, if I had to wager, that I've seen so far. Bucciarati was like the best Joe bro, aside from Polnareff. Polnareff's probably the best Joe bro. But Bucciarati was peak. Narancia was peak. Fugo kind of made it in the show, but when you read Purple Haze feedback, he's peak. Abakio? Trish was cool. Yeah, I thought Golden Wind was great. I thought the fight scenes were cool. And all the arcs were cool. I think the main villain in Golden Wind is awesome. I think he's underrated. I think Giorno gets too much hate as well.
Yeah, Giorno's overhated. I saw like people saying he's like worse than Jonathan and shit. Like, come on,
he has
man.
No personality, L. Not even true. Not even fucking true. Anyway, he's just a little stoic.
Think about Golden Wind. I like, it takes place in like a week. Like 7 days or some shit. It's like very fast paced. But not fast paced, but like it's very short time patch. And then you look at like, I don't know, Stardust Crusaders. That is like so many days, so many times.
90, I think it is.
It's long. I get like the whole journey to Egypt thing, but I think Stardust
part four
is
also
long.
Takes place over a good amount of time.
I think part
especially
four
the first half.
Part four is just the summer.
Yeah, I think most of it, like most of the days, pass in the first half because it's just random stand battles in between school, and then after Kira is introduced, it's probably like 2 weeks or so because they're actively on the hunt for him. Part four peak, but part five. Also peak.
Huh?
I started playing the JoJo Part 5 PS2 game and it's fun. It kind of reminds me of Kingdom Hearts 1 the way I'd be rolling around dodging all the attacks. It's a Capcom game, but it's like a 3D. Like, it's designed in a way where there's no levels, it's just boss battles against the stand users. It's hard to explain in a way that doesn't make it sound kind of boring. But it's fun. I like it. But that's not the only JoJo game I've been playing. Because All-Star Battle R came out. Now, this game is peak? Question mark?
It all right.
The single player content is really good and a lot of fun. I loved All-Star Battle mode. The arcade mode needs fucking fleshing out. The arcade mode mid is shit. It's literally just randomized battles. It's not even like a set, like who you're fighting against. For each character, and there's no like story to the arcade mode at all. And I know there's a lot of characters, but like, come on, you know, it wouldn't take that much time or budget to add like super simple arcade mode endings for all these characters. Like, come on, just give them unique little endings. Fucking, it wouldn't be that hard. Just like, I'm asking you for like a sentence or two, at the very least, you know. And make their battles set like who the fuck they're fighting. Like, why is Fugo's arcade mode, why could it just end with me fighting Yoshikage Kira? That doesn't make sense at all. It should be set that I fight like Giorno or I fight Diavolo or something, you know? If I play as fucking Joseph Joestar, why is my final battle fucking Josuke Higashikata Part 8? It doesn't make sense.
I'll be honest, I haven't even played the arcade mode.
Well, it's mid as shit. They need to add short little endings, short little openings, and set it so that it's a specific thing. But they probably won't do this because it's the same way it was in the PS3 version. All-Star Battle Mode is good. It's better than the story mode was in the original game, but it's borderline the same. Yeah, that's about it for the single player content, but it's fun. I wish there were combo trials and trials in general, because combo trials and like advanced tutorials are a lot of fun that I have in fighting games. I love French Bread's really good with those in like Undernight and Melty Blood. Capcom has some decent combo trials. They're fun. JoJo doesn't have any of them. Sad face. But Bandai Namco's other fighters like Tekken don't have those either, which is also an L.
Yeah, whatever. Fortnite better.
Probably true. Before we move on to Fortnite, let's talk about the online All-Star Battle. It is kind of mid. If you're best friends with this guy named Dylan who has shitty internet, good luck playing this game, bruh. Good luck playing this game, bruh.
You know, especially had good online and a better game?
Fortnite. What do you like better, Dylan? Melty Blood or All-Star Battle? Doesn't matter.
Fortnite's
better than both of them.
All right, bro. Fortnite
move! Oh, do it again. Fortnite move! Oh! Yeah, okay, so the Briskies, for the longest time, I mean, years and years and years ago, I played through all of, I think it was Season 4, because the last skin in the Season 4 Battle Pass kind of reminded me of famous musician Gigi Allen, and I thought that was funny, so I literally made it to level 100 in the Fortnite Battle Pass in that season, but I never played the game again, because I fucking hate the building in Fortnite. It is so bad. It's not fun to get good. I don't know if we've complained about it on the podcast before, but Bed Wars is awesome until you run into someone that's a fucking speed builder. Fuck speed builders, bro. Put a fucking build cooldown.
Well, we called them
Bed Wars.
Fortnite-ed all the time.
Yeah, we called them Fortniters when we were playing Bed Wars. But we got some friends of ours that like Fortnite, like Zach, our manager Zach, loves Fortnite, and people like him were always like, oh, there's a zero build mode now, and it's actually way better. Whatever. I mean, we'll try it when something interesting happens. Oh, Goku's in? We might try it. We might. And then we did end up trying it, and we played it, like, every day since. Just a little bit. Like, we're not addicted.
We forgot the most important part of the story. Goku was added. We were saying we're going to play Fortnite when Goku added. We didn't. Wasn't interesting enough. They put the gritty back in the chop. I picked that shit up. I downloaded that shit. I brought Goku.
Facts.
I brought the gritty.
I downloaded it like a day or two before the gritty came back in the shop. So I was already having fun with it before Dylan was. But now we made it to level 100 in the last scene's battle pass. We might do it again. We'll see. Fortnite is a lot of fun in zero build mode. It's especially if you don't play it seriously. It's just a very silly game. The most fun we have in Fortnite is when we always drop in Tilted Towers, get a car with the ramming thing in the cow catcher and off-road wheels, demolish every building in Tilted Towers, harvest our rewards, and then just drive around like fucking maniacs. We'll just drive around the map. We see someone, the person in the car will run them over and just keep doing that, and everyone else will get out of the car and fucking shoot them. It's so much fun. The Broskis should like release a video of us playing Fortnite and perhaps role-playing? Stay tuned. Yeah, Fortnite's a lot of fun, though. Fortnite move!
Fortnite move! Oh, do it again! Fortnite move!
Yeah, when we release this this new video, let us know if you like this kind of stuff, because I wouldn't mind doing this again for future silly little Fortnite collabs. I see a lot of people wanting them to add JoJo as the next anime that gets into Fortnite. I'm not a huge fan of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but I think it'll be okay. We could probably. I'm sorry. I think we could probably make content out of it. Like I don't know, man. I don't even think I've even watched that show, honestly. Kind of gay. I heard it's gay, honestly, and like I'm straight, so yeah, I'm not really comfortable around JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'm not gonna lie. So if they add it to Fortnite, I don't think I might even drop the game, honestly. Fortnite move! Oh, do it again. You know who they're adding to Fortnite?
Yeah.
The Queen. Queen Elizabeth Fortnite skin. So yeah, okay, everyone, Dylan, shut off the music, shut off the podcast.
Oh, okay, we're gonna have a moment of silence.
Yeah, hold on. So, the day we're recording this, September 19th, today they're holding the Queen's funeral. us at the Broskies, we were very big fans of the Queen. Some may say we were stans of the Queen. Dylan would often make fan cams of her, so we just need to have like a moment of silence and appreciation for the Queen. I'm tired of these people saying that she was like a tyrant and a bad stop. Okay, she was a baddie. I mean, she was like based. So, moment of silence for the Queen. All right, in 3, 2, 1. The new Pac-Man game came out. Let's go! Pac-Man World Repack came out. Dylan didn't play it, but Dylan said he might buy it to support the cause so that they make Pac-Man World 2 Repack and Pac-Man World 3 Repack and Pac-Man World Rally Repack, and then they make Pac-Man World 4. Because Pac-Man World, one of the most underrated, goated trilogies of all time. I see people talk about, oh, Pac-Man World 2, the greatest. Pac-Man World 1 and Pac-Man World 3, you guys gotta appreciate that shit, man. That shit fire! Yeah, Pac-Man World Repack was awesome. I think there's benefits to the original and the new re-release, but in all, if you're gonna play it, Repack is probably the way to go. But the PS1 version is still fun in its own right. But Repack was awesome. I think it was a fun little 3D platformer. It wasn't that hard for me. It took me about 10 hours to finish it completely. I'm still missing one achievement, because once you beat the game, you unlock the ability to play the original Pac-Man, an arcade port of the original Pac-Man. And there's an achievement on Steam for reaching level 9 in the original Pac-Man. My high score is level 7. If you've played Pac-Man, you'll probably know how fucking ridiculous it is to reach level 9. Like, you actually have to be very good at Pac-Man, and most people aren't. I think I'm decent at Pac-Man, because I had a little arc last year where I played a lot of just, like, Pac-Man. And I 100% Pac-Man Championship Edition for the NES. And I got all the retro achievements on Pac-Man for the Game Boy. So I'm, like, decent at Pac-Man, and I still can't get this fucking trophy. But I'm gonna keep pushing forward. So I can get that perfect game on Steam. I've been playing all of my games on my Steam Deck now. The Steam Deck, if you love playing games in bed like I do...
I don't think the viewers know you have a Steam Deck.
Yeah, I think I gotta tell them I got a Steam Deck.
Yeah, but you haven't told them yet, so make sure
to tell them when you got it. Okay, so guys, I got a Steam Deck. Man. I got a Steam Deck. Fuck, Dylan, I don't remember the specific day I got the Steam Deck. Do you think they need to know that, the fans?
Yes!
Fuck!
How do you not remember this shit?
Dude, I don't...
You're a public figure, dude.
You're my God.
You're putting the shit on Instagram.
There's no way that Lime Jinjo can have character development off the podcast. We have to know everything about him.
Imagine if he got like a girlfriend off the podcast. Like, we need a podcast about why you got a girlfriend or something.
All right, this would be me.
They can't just do that shit off screen.
This would be me if like Lime Jinjo or Kurofibian got like a girlfriend off screen and didn't tell us. That would be me if that were to happen. But thank God that will never happen.
Yeah, like, so, come on, man. Like, the Brokies is like a parasocial relationship to me. So, like, watching you guys is like a TV show to me. So, like, when you don't put, like, personal things in your life, like, completely... Well, come on, guys.
Facts. Facts. We're like, 2.5 men. Men.
That's like your that mind all the time. Men.
No!
No!
I like women.
Yeah?
I like woe men.
Oh, there's no proof of that from what's been going on, dude.
What do you mean? What does that even mean? I'm genuinely confused. What does that mean?
So if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Alright, if I could pick a superpower, let me think. Hold on. I'm contemplating. I'm fucking thinking. Hold on. Give me 1 second, Dylan. Dude, fucking stop, like, breathing down my neck, okay? Because it's, like, seriously fucking annoying. Just give me 1 second to think about this. Like, I'm genuinely trying to think about it, but you're, like, on my dick, and it, like, makes it hard to think about. Invisibility.
Okay, well, the downside to your invisibility is that you have to have an erection the whole time, and it's not invisible.
So I'd just be a floating hard cock?
Yes.
I mean, that makes what I do with the invisibility even better. Wee-oo, wee! Oh no, is that the sexual predator alarm going off? My bad, guys. That might have been too far.
I think I would want to have laser eyes.
Okay. Every time you use the laser eyes melt your eyeballs as well, so you can only use them once, and you go completely blind afterwards, and it fucking hurts, because your eyeballs are literally melting. And the melting eyeball juice can, like, trickle down into the rest of your skull and probably damage other parts of you. I don't think it would kill you, but it would hurt a lot, and you would go blind as well.
Oh, shit. Do you have any of the... There's, like, this guy on TikTok who makes these videos, the shitty superpowers. Do you have any of those saved? Because some of them, like, aren't shitty.
I might be able to find them.
And they're actually, like, weirdly good.
Any one that he tries to make stacking is always busted, no matter what.
Yeah, he had one, like, every time you eat, like, a jar of, like...
It was a bottle of ketchup.
Every
time you eat a bottle of ketchup, you jump, like, 10% higher, I think he said, or something.
I think it's a low number, it was like 0.5% higher jump. And it's like, dude, I'll just start drinking bottles of ketchup and I'm in Super Mario,
dude.
It
doesn't say you have to chug it either. So you could just like start putting a little bit of ketchup on everything. Just eat a lot of hot dogs
and fries. I remember one with...
Dude, I eat so many fucking French fries and then I'd be like, wahoo!
I remember one of them was you have a 50-50 chance to, when you sprint into a wall, you go through it.
That's broken.
That's a pretty good one. Now, I do see the downside because you have to do a full sprint. So if you're being chased by someone and you just slam to that wall, you don't really have the time to run into it again. So you're kind of fricked. That one had a bit of a downside. But the ketchup one is just like completely broken.
And there was one he did where it's like, every pair of scissors you hold make you run 5% faster and it's stackable. You could just, like, tape a bunch of scissors together to make a giant scissor sword and run, like, double speed. You'd be the scariest assassin in the fucking world. A guy that fights people with a bunch of fucking scissors. There's this character in Lisa the Painful called Crisp LaDaddy, and he fights with a bundle of swords. He just holds like a, you know, like when you take the laundry out of the dryer and you just have like a bundle of laundry. He has a bundle of swords like that, and he just kind of like jiggles the bundle of swords around to attack enemies.
Yeah,
you can do
that
with scissors.
He loves swords, and he can, like, summon swords through an unlimited blade works.
Yeah, but he has to hold all the swords. At once.
Well, have you seen Gilgamesh? He can, like, summon a bunch of swords, and they just kind of, like, shoot at you.
But he has to hold them all at once.
Well, Gilgamesh doesn't have to hold any swords. He crosses his arms, and they all do the work for him.
Well, then he's not holding any, and he won't get the speed boost. Dude, are you fucking stupid? Like, seriously, are you stupid? Like, seriously. Like, be honest with me.
You know, Genocide Joe from Danganronpa?
Yeah.
She had scissors.
That's cool, dude. You see the new Danganronpa game coming out?
No.
They showed it in the Nintendo Direct.
Oh, that's it.
What do you mean it's not a Danganronpa game? That's like if the Broskies had a creative endeavor to make a new YouTube channel and we just called it The Guys.
The guys. And it was contents, like... Oh, shit. Who makes the game? Spike Chunsoft? They're making, like, this new detective game. Like, 3D detective game, like, outside of it. I don't fucking know. But it's the exact same style as Danganronpa. And I don't know.
I think it's, like, the same, like, lead guy.
It's just Danganronpa, man. I'm looking at this shit. It's Danganronpa.
If you're going to have multiple creative endeavors, you can't, like, if you're going to have multiple series you make, you can't use literally the same exact art style.
I can't differentiate
this shit from Danganronpa.
I think you can. The issue is, if your style is, like, so unique, and, like, nothing comes close to Danganronpa style, so when you make other games, I'm sorry, that's Danganronpa.
Yeah. If your style is very simple, that's fine, but, like, or, you know, just, like, not super, super unique like Danganronpa's is. Like, imagine if Hirohiko Araki tried to make a JoJo part, but it wasn't a JoJo part, but it looked exactly like JoJo.
That would be weird. He changes his style every
Yeah, but he did do that. He literally did do that.
Toriyama did like Dragon Quest, right?
Yeah, and Dragon Ball. Dragon Quest and Dragon Ball have been differently running for a while. It's clear that it's still Toriyama, but they're clearly different to
Maybe
me.
Maybe it's just because it's Danganronpa. I'm realizing we're kind of contradicting ourselves. It's just because it's Danganronpa.
Maybe I just fucking hate Danganronpa. Fuck Danganronpa. Fuck Danganronpa. Fuck Danganronpa.
So
anything
if you could
else?
Have a new superpower, what would it be?
You know Unlimited Blade Works?
Yeah.
That, but with little girls. Cut that out.
Welcome to the serious corner of the podcast! With guitars and explosions.
Today, on the serious corner of the Broski podcast, we have something extremely serious to talk about. And the way I'm wording it might make it sound not serious, but trust me, when we start talking about it, we're going to get very angry and serious, because Dylan and I always get very angry and serious about this topic, and like a week ago, it was like super, like it's at the worst it's ever been, and we were both fucking pissed off. So, you may or may not know about a YouTuber and streamer who Dylan and I had been very big fans of since we were like children, like literally like teenagers, like probably like 14 or 15 for me, but it was a streamer named Etika.
Smash Bird came out like when I was like 14, you probably like 13.
Yeah, it was
12.
Like all of Smash 4 and Smash Ultimate. Yeah, so okay, it was a streamer named Etika. Very great streamer. One of the only streamers I could actually like sit down and watch him stream, because I fucking hate watching streams.
Oh yeah,
usually.
I hate live streams.
They're
the only
boring.
Live stream that I ever watched.
But Etika was peak, and his videos were peak. When he'd talk about Nintendo news and leaks, he always made it interesting and fun.
Have you ever seen his video where he talks about the Vita lawsuit and how he like sued Sony?
Yeah,
and then like
he
dances at the end and like in front of the Sony Tower and like throws money in the air, and it just turns out the check was just like $20.
Yeah, but didn't he frame the $20 check?
Yeah, he framed it, and then he later put it up on the back of his set.
That was peak. That was peak, though. Why you wouldn't spend $20? If Sony gave you $20, you wouldn't spend it. You'd keep it. I'd keep it. Because that'd be funny as fuck. A $20 check from literally from Sony.
$20. If it was in hundreds, like, okay, I'm going to redeem. $20?
Yeah, $20 not fucking worth it. That's funny as fuck. But Etika, see, we're talking about him. We're just talking about how funny he was and how awesome his content was. And it's also okay to talk about how sad it was when he died. Because the circumstances surrounding his death were sad and horrible, and a lot of people fucked up. I think as a whole, the internet didn't handle Etika well. It was a very complicated situation, but as a whole, I don't think anyone was handling it well. Because I don't think anyone realized how bad it really was until it was over. Because he just seemed like he was like going kind of like crazy, but no one really thought, oh, he's in danger of killing himself, or at least a lot of people didn't. So it's good and healthy to talk about all of this, how great Etika was, how sad it was when he died, and how you miss him. What's not great to talk about and pisses me off every time it happens is we only speak about Etika when we're trying to ruin Keemstar's career again. Fucking again. Every single time. How many times have people tried to fucking cancel Keemstar? How many videos have been made about Keemstar? Because fucking iDubbbz made The Content Cop, which is a great video. You know, everyone knows that I still love iDubbbz. I love all of iDubbbz's old videos. I love his new videos. I talked about on Cheesy Manfredo's podcast that Dylan and I were on like a couple months ago. I love iDubbbz stuff. His Content Cop was great. Then fucking H3H3 makes his Nuclear Winter shit, and it was mid as fuck. But that was like when H3H3 was like spiraling downward into being a shit content creator. And now, H3H3 just has a stupid little podcast with Hassan where they just talk about their fucking beef with Keemstar all the time. And, oh, I have a beef with this right winger today. I have a beef with this right winger today. And everyone, they always, it was mostly H3H3, if I'm being honest. It was mostly him because he brought it back. But there was always still some people that use Etika's life and death as a, just a way to get back at Keemstar, and it's so fucking disgusting, because, first of all, Keem had, like, fucking nothing to do with Etika's death. Let's run by what Keem actually had to do with Etika's death.
Yeah, well, real quick, a little bit of history. I mean, it'd be so long to go into it, but basically the whole internet was, like, at odds against Etika. He would kind of, just having, like, many months of just a manic episode. No one knew what was wrong. He was suddenly very different. People were clowned on him all the time. I don't really remember the circumstances, like, to why, but he eventually went on a drama alert. And we don't know if he was, like, serious on there, if he was just joking around, because he liked Kim, so he always wanted to be on his show. And he's saying some, like, crazy shit on the drama alert about, we live in a simulation, and basically, and, like, he's the Antichrist and shit like that. So Keemstar would respond to, like, us living in a simulation. It's a very harsh thing to say, but in context, it makes sense. He's saying, like, if it's a simulation, then what's the point? Why don't we all just jump off a bridge? It was something around those lines. And that is a clip everyone uses, and they use this. Etika never brought up ever to, like, about his content or anything. It's all just like, oh, look, Keemstar killed him. Keemstar did all of this right here.
Yeah, that's what pisses me off the most. Specifically when people word it as, Keemstar killed him. No, he fucking didn't, you dickhead. Keemstar had, like, nothing to do with Etika's death. Etika says so, like, in his last video. He's like, you know, it's not Keemstar's fault. Etika's family has said, stop fucking bringing Keemstar into it, because Etika liked Keemstar. They, like, consider Keemstar a friend of the family, which is questionable. I wouldn't want Keemstar to be a friend of my family. But
quick,
still.
Like, we didn't have anything here, but, like, there's plenty of shit to go off the Keemstar. Keemstar is not a very good person at all. Anyone on the internet knows this. Keemstar has done so much controversial shit. And even in this situation, although we're saying he didn't do anything, he is guilty alongside most of the internet of, like, not handling it well at all. He said some very questionable things. Like, for example, he, like, made some tweet. Like, FujiTube had, like, some breakdown at an event, and he called it July 15th. And Keemstar made some tweet like, I gotta make content. Etika, go all full July 15th mode. And then when he went missing, Keemstar's like, I don't think he killed himself. He'd probably just hide in. He made some very, like, bad and questionable tweets. Like, don't get me wrong. Those tweets were bad.
Don't get us wrong. Keem was an idiot in this situation. The jump off a bridge thing, I will argue, is harsh, but I don't think it was a stupid thing to say in context at all. And people are taking it vastly out of context because people are like, oh, he said, why don't you jump off a bridge? He was telling Etika to kill himself. And guess what? Etika killed himself by jumping off a bridge. But that's not what happened. I don't think that was particularly a wrong thing to say. It was just harshly worded. His other tweets were fucking stupid as shit, and he shouldn't have said that. That was mean. But a lot of people were being mean to Etika at this time. Most people wised up when he went missing. Keem didn't, because Keem is an idiot. Keem has always been an idiot. And we always know Keem was a bad person. I think Keem is fun as the villain of the internet. And I don't take anything he says seriously. I don't think most people take anything he says seriously. And there's a lot of things that Keem can be held accountable for, and we should hold him accountable for. But using Etika's death like this, when you clearly don't give a fuck about Etika at all, you just want to shut down Keemstar, it's not the move. And this all fucking happened because Keemstar tweeted like, oh, it's not good to make fun of the queen's death. And then everyone's like, aren't you the guy that told Etika to kill himself and you killed Etika and we can make fun of the queen's death? That's the most stupidest fucking bullshit I think I've ever seen on Twitter in my fucking life.
And, like, the appropriate response to that is to, like, I saw people just showing his tweets. valid. Showing him, like, saying he's gonna report Turtle Biscuit death. Valid.
That was valid. That was completely fucking valid.
The thing with Turtle Biscuit and then his tweets about Etika, valid. Because they're basically just mocking.
People were saying, you're responsible for Etika's death.
You don't know anything about the situation, and you're just using Etika's life as ammo. You don't want to. You don't care about the guy. You don't care about his drugs. You don't care about anything. You only bring him up when you want to use him as ammo to look better than Keemstar. It's really hard to look better than Keemstar. Is your life that low?
Yeah, and like another example is just recently, literally at the same time when Queen Elizabeth died, someone made a good tweet where it was like, "In heaven, God." Time for a special announcement. And then it says Etika. Okay, let's see what this is. And then he goes, Queen Elizabeth! And they use like a photo of Etika like jumping up and down screaming. That's funny. That's something Etika would have liked. First of all, that is a good example of how to keep Etika's legacy alive, is remembering how funny he was and appreciating all that shit. Second of all, Queen Elizabeth is not going to heaven. So... yeah, but fucking this whole, oh my god. And like, I made a tweet about, because I think I've said it before. I say it like every time it's brought back up. Oh, Keem is responsible. I'd made a tweet like, this is fucking stupid. Everyone shut the fuck up. And some random guy came into my mentions like, okay, but it is fair because Keemstar was responsible for it. And I sent one tweet to this guy like, no, he wasn't. Here's why. And this guy was like, this guy literally came back and was like, I'm sorry, you're right. What I said was fucking stupid. That's facts. Thank you. Be like that random guy on Twitter that I talked to. Admit that you're acting like a fucking buffoon. I know most of these fucking people that tweet about Etika and Keemstar have probably didn't even fucking know who Etika was before he died. They don't care, and they've probably never seen any of Etika's content. Y'all need to sit your white ass down and fucking watch the clip where they show the Mega Man Smash Bros. 3DS gameplay, and they show his final smash, and he fucking peeks Super his mic robot! Screaming Super Fighting Robot. Super Fighting Y'all robot! Need to fucking see when he's playing, like, Pokemon Platinum, and he's just, like, saying all of the dialogue from the F-Zero anime from the scene where Captain Falcon dies.
Y'all gotta see the Subway Sandwich video.
Y'all gotta see the fucking video when he watches the Monogatari toothbrushing scene for the first time, and then he takes a toothbrush off his desk, starts brushing his teeth, and then doing his best impersonation of violently coming. Y'all gotta see when he made a Switch out of cardboard and then showed on his stream and pretended that Nintendo sent him a Switch early.
Oh my y'all god, I forgot that's about how that you even made the Joy-Con board thing. He got a freaking fake Switch.
Joy-Con boys! Y'all gotta fucking see that shit. And then come back and talk about how it was all Keemstar's fault when it wasn't.
Well,
y'all
about,
gotta remember the man himself.
There's like so Pika-ka. Much misinformation too, because I saw someone saying like, they tried to explain, like, the etiquette situation, and their interpretation of it was like, he was going crazy, his YouTube channel got hacked, and then he went on the drama alert. His YouTube never got hacked. Part of him, like, his, like, whole, like, the couple months when he was, like, so different, he posted a bunch of porn to his YouTube channel to get it deleted. Like, that was him getting, he did that shit.
That was facts. That was him himself. And he had this, and a lot of people just forget a whole aspect of Etika's last, like, month or so was, we all thought he was in this cult. And we still don't, I think it was, like, it was basically true that he wasn't a cult, but we still don't know all the details. And it's something with this 99999 he always kept, like, talking about, and I guess it was all this cult shit. Yeah, Nine Gang. It was fucking strange. And people were bullying him for being in the cult, which is like, whatever, but we probably should have taken it more seriously. But also, the main thing about Etika's death, the real villain is not Keemstar, and maybe like a minor antagonist is people on the internet needing to learn to be nicer. Even like during the Etika situation, I should have been nicer, probably. I feel bad for, like, I said something like, I commented on his Twitter, like, you're, like, clearly not, like, not mentally well, you need to go to therapy or something. But I worded it more like a 17, 16-year-old would have. So I'm forever blocked on Twitter by Etika. He's not going to unblock me. He's not here to unblock me. And I feel bad about that. And everyone on the internet, for the most part, was kind of like that. We all treated Etika too harshly, and we didn't realize before it was too late. So the internet's kind of my antagonist.
Well,
but the
also,
main
like,
antagonist...
He wasn't entirely, like, to be supported in the time, too, though. Like, a lot of people were mad at him. Like, his friend Guy Williams was trying to help him. He was a complete asshole to him on Twitter, so he got criticized for that.
Etika was
not
just
like,
going...
There's so many layers to it. It's why it's important to look at what happened and instead of just saying, oh, Keemstra killed him. There's so much more to it.
Some people don't even realize Etika was kind of going insane and they're just like, oh, Etika was depressed. It wasn't that simple. It wasn't that kind of dry. But the real main antagonist of the story of Etika's life, the end of his life, is the American health system. Because he was apprehended and put into custody and checked for his mental health twice. Fucking twice. And they kept him there for one day and let him go. They saw he was mentally fit and let him go. When he clearly was not mentally fit. He was let go, immediately started posting on his accounts about cult stuff, and then ended up killing himself not long after. It was a complete, like, failure of their own, like, health system to protect Etika and help him. And they didn't do it. That's what people should talk about. If you want to talk about what went wrong with, like, Etika's life and who should have helped him and who could have helped him, talk about that. I know it sucks because it wraps back around to, oh, America sucks, politics, blah, 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 but it's facts. It's the truth. Opinions?
Yeah, and it's like, it's not like he didn't have support. He had many of his friends. Many people were, I saw, like, so many people saying, like, the Nine Gang shit. So, like, the amount of people that told him, like, hey, it was
his ex-girlfriend.
Way more support than, because there's the people spamming the clown emojis, but then there's the people like, hey, you really need help. And he would block if he said he needed help. It's anyone who, even his friend on Twitter, he would say, like, you need help, he would block him. So, like, people, you just couldn't say anything like that. And then there would also people who would, like, go along with, like, the Nine Gang shit and whatever.
And even, like, his ex-girlfriend was, like, trying her hardest to help him. I remember she was, like, doing everything she could. Like, she was, like, the leader for updates on Etika. Like, oh, Etika's in the hospital right now. Oh, Etika was let out. And, like, she was the first person that told us when Etika went
missing.
And, oh
my god, there was so much drama of that, too. Because, like, one of the friends was, like, so mad at his ex-girlfriend for, like, giving updates and shit. It's like, there's so much shit happened with it.
It was the most fucked up situation. Someone should make a documentary on it. Help everyone fucking... Did we talk about it last podcast? But people have been dunking on the Geno Samuel, Chris Chan documentary.
No,
y'all need a fucking Etika documentary. Cause it's not like, oh, exploit what happened to Etika for money. No, y'all need an Etika documentary so you can sit down, watch like an hour long, well-made documentary, realize what actually fucking happened so that you're not misinformed and then stop talking. Or talk if you actually have something intelligent to say based on actually what happened and not what you think happened.
It's like, again, like, you can criticize Keemstra for the shit he did. Like, I think he should be criticized for his tweets and shit because they were very wrong. But it's whenever you see someone talk about Keemstra, it's always the, oh, he killed him. Which you don't know shit. We're repeating ourselves at this point, but it's like, that's the most frustrating thing. It's like, I love this dude. I looked up to him, and I'm like, he just out, you only see him
you
on
love
his name now to be used as ammo.
Yeah, no, it's fucking annoying. It's fucking cringe and awful. I hope one day people will get past this whole Keemstar thing, and then I'll only ever see shit about Etika when we're talking about how goated this guy was and how he's probably one of the best YouTubers to ever live. Definitely the best streamer to ever live. No one will be as fun to watch as Etika was. No one will be as much of a fucking personality as Etika was. That guy was fucking goated with the sauce. So yeah, moral of the story, when we put Etika's name in our mouth, make sure it's something positive or about how we miss him or intelligent discussion about the circumstances of his death, but let's try and mostly keep it about the fun, because that's what he would have wanted, and that's the part that's actually fun to talk about. And when we're talking about Keem, bring up the shit that was actually bad with Etika. Don't use the fucking bridge jumping off clip. Don't say it was all Keem's fault, Etika died, and Total Biscuit is fair game. That was fucked up. And so was a bunch of other shit Keemstar does. And Keemstar is not a good person. He do be funny sometimes, though. You see that Keemstar tweet where he's like, the whole world can go crazy. Everyone can go crazy. I will still be Keemstar.
That's the stupidest tweet in the world.
That's the rawest quote of all time.
Oh my God.
That's the rawest quote of all time.
Every Christmas Eve, it's so funny because everyone poked the it's a horrible thing, but Keemstar ran over a dog like 7 years ago, and he tweeted like, just ran over a dog going 70 miles an hour in my truck. Such a shitty Christmas Eve right now. And then followed up saying, yes, it died.
Yes, it died. Just a tweet, a standalone tweet. Yes, it died.
I think it's Clown, Clutch Old Crazy, that like started the thing. I listened to the old podcast Baited recently, mm-hmm. and Keemstar like go down a rant against him. Like, why do you have to post that every year? It really makes me upset. And it's so funny. It's just, oh my God, we're so picked up.
It is extremely fucking funny to dunk on him for that, though. Yes, it died. Anyway, Serious Corner over. That's the sound of the Serious Corner ending.
All right, well, we have to have something before we end the episode after Serious Corner. So it's not very much, but Chainsaw Man, the anime.
Yeah, today, so you saw at the beginning of the episode, and I mentioned earlier what today's date is because it's the Queen's funeral, but who gives a fuck about the Queen's funeral, am I right? They ain't done shit about Chainsaw Man today. Let's go, dude! So we got this information. We got like, all the information we could ever want. We have the full subcast. We have like the four main characters dub voice actors, which is awesome. We know how many episodes it is and how much is adapting.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's only 12 episodes, so it's probably just half of part one.
It's only
going to
be like half of part one, probably. Unless they can fit all of part one in 12 episodes, which...
They won't.
They might. Well, you know Chainsaw Man pacing, they could.
Yeah, but I feel like it's going to be... So I saw some people's suggestion it might be like the two-core thing, like with Spy Family or like Komi-san. It's going to be two-core no matter what. It's just we don't know when the second core will come out.
Yeah. We'll see, but the dub cast, it's all like fresh faces that I don't really recognize. I looked at the guy that is gonna play Denji. The only role I know him for is he voiced one of the gay guys in Golden Wind, like right after the Mystery of King Crimson arc, halfway through. Remember the stand? I think it's called Crush, or I think it's Crash in Japanese. Like, that's what the original stand name is. The Shark, he voiced the guy that uses the shark. One of the gay stand users.
Yeah, and I saw...
The other stand and that was talking head. That's the only role I know him for. But that's good. I love seeing fresh blood in the voice acting community. This will be me in 2026 with a Steel Ball Run anime. Broski fans, let's rally for Lime Jinjo to be in the Steel Ball Run anime.
I saw a couple of them were, like, Genshin voice actors. So, like, they all have, like...
Genshin is also very good.
Yeah, Genshin pretty big, actually. I never would consider it. But I don't know, like, when I see a face I don't know in voice acting, I really like that. Because I like when they give people, like, a new chance, especially Chainsaw Man. Like, four faces I've never seen being the main characters of Chainsaw Man, that's awesome. That's, like, a breakout role. This anime is going to be huge. Like, Chainsaw Man's already so popular, it's about to explode.
And you know I love... My goats, like Yuri Lowenthal, Johnny Young Bosch, Steve Bloom, Cassandra Lee Morris, Erica Harlicher, Max Mendelman. I could go on and on and on about all the voice actors I love. And I love seeing them, but it's also nice to see fresh faces.
Have we mentioned that, unfortunately, Billy Kometz passed away a couple months back?
I don't remember if we mentioned it.
That dude is the goat.
One of the goats, Billy Kometz. Amazing VA, did an excellent job as Josuke Higashikata in JoJo Part 4. He voiced Maruki in Persona 5 Royal. You know the broskies love Persona 5 Royal. Go listen to our, like, a two-hour broski discuss.
Oh, that shit probably cringed the shit.
It probably is, but we just suck off the fucking final arc of that game. And Maruki, it is facts, though. Billy Kometz did a great job as Maruki. His fucking performance of a lifetime. Brad's performance is probably even better than his Josuke performance, and you know I love JoJo.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I thought about him. Maruki from Persona 5, I like his Josuke, but his Maruki, like, some of his lines are, like, just stuck in my head. Just fantastic. He's,
yeah.
It's...
I gave up everything! Everything! Dude! Oh my god, that role was fucking amazing for him. Jesus Christ. Yeah, he had stage 4 cancer, and like a month or two after they announced that he passed, he had his funeral, and he's buried not far from me. So, one day I want to like leave flowers for him or something, because he was the GOAT. Yeah, he was the fucking GOAT. I want to like leave him flowers. Yeah, he was a great VA.
I only knew him for a few roles, but he really one of my favorite VAs. Like that, all that his Maruki roles were fucking good. That good. He
was also he was also one of the leads. He starred in Promare with Johnny Youngbosch, which was a pretty good movie. I liked it. I thought it was like an 8 out of 10. But his voice work in it was fucking genius. His voice work in everything was genius. So that guy was the fucking GOAT. But yeah, voice acting, that shit goes crazy. I like voice acting. Facts, no cap. Yeah, Chainsaw Man is coming. Rent a Girlfriend Season 3 was announced, though.
I'm so excited. We talked about it last episode, bro. I think. This show is actually a 1 out of 10. It's so shit that it's actually a 10 out of 10. And it's in my
top 10. What are you talking about, bro? That shit's 10 out of 10 straight,
dude,
bro.
Dude, like,
it's
I'm
going to
read the manga for this
peak.
Shit. I'm gonna rate it like a 1 out of 10 and put it in my top 10. I mean, a 10 out of 10? We are.
If you go on Lime Jinjo on my anime list, look at his recently rated. Dude, I already gave season 3 a 10. Facts. I already gave season 3 a fucking 10, bro. It's not even out yet.
I saw some people saying, like, oh, season 3 is gonna be like the peak of the seed. Are you guys actually watching
facts.
This for like good storytelling?
I love this shit. This shit is my top voice series of all time. Number one, Yu Yu Hakusho, forever and always. Forever and always, Yu Yu Hakusho. Number two, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Number three, Jujutsu Kaisen. Peak Jujutsu Kaisen. Number four, Rent a Peak. Facts! Rent a Peak is fucking awesome, bro. You know Ruka? She's the GOAT. She's the fucking GOAT.
Well, I think we don't really have much else.
Yeah,
I think
it's
time we wrap the episode up. You know where to find that
crazy episode.
We got all the shit you need. Working on video. Don't worry, guys.
Thebroskies.com. The broskies are like this. Like the broskies. This is gonna be the golden age. You know,
yeah,
like
this revival arc.
The Disney movies from like the 80s and 90s when they were animating movies and they came out with like Tarzan and Little Mermaid and stuff and they call that the Disney golden age.
I didn't know that.
Okay, well, that's what it's going to be like for the broskies. Everyone's going to be like, that Fortnite video that they made, that's still coming out, by the way. That was the Broski Golden Age arc. Episode 19, that was the Broski Golden Age arc. The official Broski YouTube Poop 3, Broski Golden Age arc. So, yeah, guys.
Yeah, check out, you know where to find us on Twitter and shit.
Thebroskies.com.
Check out some etiquette clips. Check out Billy Kometz's voice acting.
Both great shit. Etika funny moments and Google Billy Kometz epic moments. The queen, the third person that died that we talked about on this podcast. Google, why does Ireland hate the queen? I think that will give you your answers on that one. I think that will give you your answers on that one. And Google Ireland reacts to the queen's death as well. Yeah. Thanks for watching. The Broski Podcast, episode 19. I have a gag to end it. I think we should just end this one normal. When was the last time we ended a podcast normal?
I don't know.
Do we have outro music?
It's been so long.
We should invent outro music, I think, because outro music is goated in a podcast.
Okay, yeah,
then let's wave goodbye to the audience.
I would actually think about that today. Like, maybe even commissioning a song, because the Evil Toad I know him, it's cool, but like, I want like something unique to use as outro music. So like, even after we have a cutoff, it just cuts to like the funny outro music.
Yeah.
We'll do that eventually.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to have a placeholder song unless we figure something out for this episode. But let's wave goodbye to our audience, and whatever you choose playing, Dylan, that's what's gonna play. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
The music's fading in. Bye.
18 naked cowboys in the showers at Ram Ranch. Big herd throbbing cocks wanting to be sucked. 18 naked cowboys wanting to be fucked. Cowboys in the showers at Ram Ranch on their knees wanting to suck cowboy cocks. Ram Ranch really rocks.